And you're welcome back to the programme. The time now is 27 minutes to the hour. I'm joined on the line now by Liam Horan, Managing Director of Slea Nua Careers Limited. Good evening, Liam.
Good evening, Aidan.
And as always, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Liam, this evening we're not going to talk about any particular difficulty that a person might have in relation to changing careers or moving on from being unemployed to being employed. But we're going to talk about an article that appeared in the Journal recently and which clearly reflects, I suppose, a growing discussion in the career world about the evolution of the CV, the importance of the CV in the context of social media, and how the future of recruiting might look.
Yeah, there's a whole thing about, you know, the CV is not dead, but there's a kind of a strong feeling in the career development world that it should be dead by now. It's proving remarkably resilient despite advances in technology and all of that. And I suppose, you know, there's a kind of a race underway. There's a strong feeling that it will eventually become obsolete. But what will replace it? What will recruitment look like in the future? What will it look like for people applying for jobs in the future? So there are different companies and different brands trying to lead the way. But actually what seems to be happening is because there are a number of different options, nobody has nailed it down, so therefore the CV has survived, if you know what I mean.
But why do people think that the CV has more or less come to the end of its shelf life, as it were?
Because there's so much more information about a candidate now. So, that, you know, when you a candidate's profile, which was once upon a time created on a CV, and not too long ago was put in an envelope and posted to a company, and that still happens to a certain extent, it was very much driven by what the candidate themselves had created. They put it out there, and that's all the recruiter or the employer had to work with, by and large, okay? But nowadays, people have all sorts of other things contributing to their profile, like their LinkedIn profile, Facebook, Twitter, blogging, all sorts of things that they do. And there are very elaborate tools now for assessing. For example, if you blog 10 times, from studying that blog, your expertise can be measured by the words you use or by the topics you blog on. So if you claim to be, for example, an expert on printers, but yet in 10 blogs you've never mentioned the word printer once, there are tools out there to spot that kind of thing. And in the future, the way I see it going and the way many people see it going, I suppose, in the industry, is that you will just look at somebody's profile and there'll be so much more information available than what's in a CV. A CV, by and large, is a fairly dead item because it's almost historical from the moment it's written, and things change so quickly now that at any given time, the recruiter of the future or the employer of the future will want to see a real-time, here-and-now overview of who you are, what you've been blogging about, what you've been tweeting about, where you've been working, what you've achieved. And when that gets nailed down, as it inevitably will before too long, it's very difficult to see the CV surviving then. Except that the other factor that's very important here is that the CV will change when the employers make it change. It advances in this side of things are employer-driven. So if employers start asking for, let's say, your LinkedIn profile to apply for a job, that will force people, A, to get a LinkedIn profile, those who don't have one, and B, to keep it much more alive. So the reason there's a CV industry right now is that employers ask for CVs. Once they start asking for something different, that's where the industry will go to then.
But I presume that that's not going to bring the interview to an end.
No, but there are changes in interviews as well in terms of the use of video interviewing and the use of, and not just even in, we'll say, you're in Dublin and I'm in Mayo and you want to interview me for a job, you interview me by Skype. That's still kind of real time. It's still face-to-face of sorts, okay? But there's a very innovative Wexford company who are international now called Sonru. And what they do is generate interviews without anybody having to carry them out, okay? So by that, I mean, they're using early screening.
Yeah, no, explain that to me now. I'm a bit lost there.
Basically, let's say you and 99 others go for a job in Baxter, okay? And Baxter want to see all 99 people, want to screen all 99 people, or want to screen 40 of them. The process of bringing all 40 or all 100 of them to an interview is time-consuming and it's costly. So what they can do now, and I don't think Baxter do this, but what a Baxter can do now he's worked with this company called Sanru to generate maybe 10 questions. Those questions are emailed to the 100 or the 40 people. When they get this email, they're given some time to practice, but they're told, when you press the button here, your webcam will record you giving these answers. And when you press the button again, those answers will automatically sync back to Baxter. So now they've got, now instead of bringing up 40 or 100 people together, they've got all of the interviews carried out, available for looking at in a like-with-like situation. Everybody's asked the same questions, and you can look at it a second time or a third time. So it's a very useful tool to screen, particularly early screening of candidates. But your question is, will the interview go? I don't think it ever will go, because even in that scenario, you're still talking about yourself. You might lack the sort of tactile over-and-back relationship with the interviewer, but ultimately you're still giving an account of yourself, and that will survive as far as I can see. It just may be in different formats, like I've said there.
But isn't there also a difficulty with this, in that it's going to exclude tens of thousands of people who may not be au fait with modern technology, who may have huge experience, who may have been around for the last 25, 30 years. Unfortunately, because of the recession, they've been unemployed for the last 5, 6, 7 years. They've tried to upskill, but they don't have this knowledge of modern media, modern technology, that would allow for them to get involved in that type of process.
Yes, I think the Sanru process is so simple, really, that they shouldn't be excluded from there. But in the other side of the fence, which is the use of online profiles and all of that to create your job searching tool, as opposed to your CV, there is a danger that people who are not technologically advanced will be excluded. The other thing that will happen, though, and is already happening, is that despite your best efforts, or even without your input, your profile is being built anyway. Okay?
How?
There are very few people who are totally and utterly not online at some level.
Sure.
There are very, very few. So from once you create a LinkedIn profile, even if you don't do a single thing bar create it, which lots of people do, they create and don't do a thing with it afterwards, bar putting their name in, that in itself will form part of the information about you. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So everything you do technologically, it's inevitable, will feed into the recruitment of the future. And the other side that's going to influence this as well, and this is a whole other area, is what's known as social recruiting, whereby companies send out tweets and Facebook and all sorts of posts saying we're looking for somebody in this area. They incentivize their own staff members to recommend somebody. They incentivize other people to recommend somebody. So the whole area of it being a recruitment company-driven thing or a HR department-driven thing, that could all change as well. In fact, the public could become the recruiters of sorts, or the people who refer candidates more and more. So there's a whole, and the word is probably democratization of recruitment likely to happen. But the journal article takes a strong stance that LinkedIn is going to be the engine of change in this area. I'm not so sure it is, because I think LinkedIn is quite one-dimensional. Say, for example, you're a graphic designer, but you're also a teacher. Under the CV model, you can have a graphic designer CV, and you can have a teacher CV. On LinkedIn, it's very difficult to create two different profiles of yourself, depending on who you want to see it. So I think that's a little bit of a static dimension to LinkedIn. But in the future model, where everything gets mixed up together, I'll be able to go in and look at you, and I'll be able to isolate the information about you that's graphic design. I'll be able to isolate the information about you that's teacher. So it's a much more organic model than I think LinkedIn is. But, you know, as I said, there's a big race on. We would be in regular touch with lots of companies who are investing in this area, trying to find the next big thing. And it's a bit like the technology to harvest wind and wave energy. Nobody has fully cracked it yet. LinkedIn have 347 million subscribers worldwide, but they still haven't fully cracked this area. But when somebody does, it will dramatically change recruitment. And I suppose the reason we're talking about it this evening is that people who might be listening, who are wondering about how they get jobs in 10 years' time, my advice would be do a bit of blogging, start talking about your sector, get your LinkedIn up to date. Don't underestimate what technology is already doing and is going to do in the future in the area of getting jobs. And it's going to come further and further down the line to smaller and smaller companies. In fact, smaller companies might be the ones who will use technology more, because it offers them real savings. You know, they're on a smaller budget. Mm. They can do more by, say, that Sanru model, rather than having to bring three people together to do interviews for a week. they can put a few quid into getting videos back. So this is going to come down the line. It's already down the line quite a bit, but it's going to come more and more down the line in the months and years ahead. And I say months deliberately because this is already evolving very quickly and will evolve more and more as time goes on.
It's extraordinary to think that an employer may hone in on an individual on the basis of the contents of a blog or how active they are on social media.
Yeah, and it need not be a pejorative assessment. It could be quite the opposite. It could be a very positive assessment. I'm not sure, did I tell the story on here before about a gentleman from Donegal who, through by dint of the work he did blogging in college, it was in a kind of advanced technological area, by dint of the work he did there, when he came out of college and he started applying for jobs, he's the whole profile of him as somebody with a real interest in this area, he got a job two steps ahead of where he felt he would have been compared to his peers. So when employers looked at his, and recruiters looked at his LinkedIn and all of that, they saw loads of blogging, giving opinions, contributing to forums in his specialist area. And that had a huge impact, both in getting him called to interview and also making the interviews at a higher, more sort of intellectual level when he got there, because he had so much work done before they ever met him that they already had formed an opinion on him that he was a very serious operator. And he was about 23 years of age. You know, he'd already that much done. So young people who are, you know, if you're a young person in Castlebar today and you want to become a graphic designer when you leave college, for example, you need to be doing things now that in 5 years' time, when they look at you, they'll say, yeah, this has been not just a whim he did when he left school. It's actually something he's very, very passionate about. So, and there's loads you can do with building your own personal website and all of that, but all of this is going to come together eventually. It's coming together quite a bit. Google has put a lot of it together. But in a recruitment sense, it's going to come together more and more because there are just too many companies putting time and money into it for it not to happen.
It's absolutely fascinating. We have to leave it there. We might continue with this conversation next week because I have to say I had no idea that these developments were in the pipeline, but obviously they are. Liam Horan, for now, thank you very much indeed, and we'll talk to you about 5:30 next Monday evening.
Thank you very much, Aidan.